Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks to everyone for being here. It's good to have you. You're visiting. We pray that you will glean something from this. I'll get this thing turned on in just a minute. Is it working? There we go. No wonder they get that thing mixed up. It looks like it's on mute when you do that. But anyway, appreciate you being here and all the things in your life. I hope things are going well. And we're going to talk a little bit this morning about a song that we teach our children growing up. And it's about being careful and understanding the things that we need to. So as we go through this, in our lives, we often find ourselves needing to make choices that require action. The Bible teaches us that being careful is not just avoiding pitfalls. It is about seeking God's guidance every step of the way. We are reminded to tread carefully in all aspects of life. And during that, we make decisions in line with God's will. We teach the little ones that song that I was talking about, be careful what we hear, see, say, do with our hands, and where our feet go. It is a repetitive song to get the little ones to start thinking about what they do with their lives, when in reality, it should be us that are adults that should be repeating it on a daily basis so as to help keep us from sin. As I look back on my life, it certainly would have helped if I would have heeded these warnings. Also, so many that are Christians that were raised with these warnings fail to exercise that song, what that song is teaching them when they become adults. For those of us who never heard the song until we were adults, can look back and understand the wisdom behind these simple words. For the next few minutes, we are going to think about each one of them and how it behooves us to pay close attention. To be careful with the little ears. Over in Psalm 78 and verse 1, Psalm 78 and verse 1, it says, "Listen, O my people, to my instruction, incline your ears to the words of my mouth." Someone rightly said, hearing is through the ears, but listening is through the mind. Hearing refers to one's ability to perceive sounds by receiving vibration through the ears. Listening is something done consciously that involves the analysis and understanding of the sounds you hear. Be careful not to hear the word, but to listen to what it has to say. In Matthew 7, 24, in Matthew 7 and verse 24, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man that built his house on the rock." Hears and acts on them is the person that listens to what you hear. When we hear and listen, we build our houses on the rock. Be careful to be a wise builder on that rock. Matthew 13 and verse 23, Matthew 13 and verse 23, it says, "The one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is a man who hears the word and understands it, listens to it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. We understand from this that we have to hear and we have to understand. We have to listen to what we're hearing. These are the ones that will bear results in life we all want. And be careful what your heart is hearing and understanding. And to be the one that has a hearing and understanding heart. In Romans 10:17 it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Or some translations have by the word of God. Faith, that is that thing that Hebrews 11:6 says, that is listening is something done concisely that involves the analysis and understanding of the sound that you hear. Hearing or comprehending the word of Christ. And be careful to develop the faith that is according to God's word. In Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. Hears his voice and opens the door is an action on our part. Hearing and comprehending will take work on our part. And to be careful to hear the knock on the door of our heart. And then be careful, little eyes. In Psalms 119 and verse 18, a Psalm of David, it says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. As Solomon had warned us in another passage, in Proverbs 22:3, the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. As Solomon warns us to see the evil and to hide from it, we'll take effort on our part. The naive, or the simple, some translation have, go on and are punished for not taking heed to where we're going and the things that our eyes are taking in. So be careful, it does affect us by what our eyes take in. In Proverbs 4:25, it says, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. And as we're letting our eyes look straight ahead, then we will not get sidetracked. Like the workhorse, that they have to put the blinders on the bridle to keep them where they want them to be and to keep them getting distracted. My grandfather was good about that, and he would tell me about the stories about the horses he had, and boy, he said that this one was stubborn and that one would do this and that one would do that. And he would explain to me about those blinders and the bridles and why they were there. And that's the same thing that we need to do in our life. And then fixing our gaze straight in front will take work on our part. We get sidetracked so easily in the things that we do and the things that we get into in life, and we got to be very careful with that. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, and be careful not to allow yourself to become distracted by the things your eyes take in. We live in a technology age where you can get anything in a mere second or two, seems like, or just a few seconds, good or bad, and we got to be very careful with that. What you take into your eyes, or I take into my eyes, is going to affect the rest of my body. And as we teach our children to be careful, little eyes, what you see, we as adults need to do the same thing. In Matthew 6:22, it says, the eye is a lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. In verse 23, it says, but if your eye is bad, the whole body is full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Be careful. What we allow to come through our eyes will affect us, good or bad. There's no way around that. There are so many things that Satan throws at us to influence our souls. We need to be careful knowing that what we allow to enter through our eyes will have an effect on us and maybe even eternally. And we got to be very careful. Hebrews 12 chapter and verse 1, starting Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and a sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set down before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us learn from the great cloud of witnesses that we see in the Bible. And the race that sets before us will require us to develop endurance. And we need to be very careful to fix our eyes on Jesus to complete the race that is set before us. Then be careful, little mouth, what you say, is what the song says. Be careful, little mouth, and it's Psalms 19 and verse 14. It says, Psalms 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What about the words that we use with our mouth? The meditation of our heart needs to be acceptable before God. And be careful to use our mouth in a way that would be acceptable to God. Proverbs 10 and 20, it says, the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. So we can see that the tongue of the righteous and what it is worth, great value. But we also see that the heart of the wicked and what they do with their tongue. So we need to be careful to have a tongue that of choice silver by choosing our words wisely. Matthew 15 and 18, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, from within us, and those defile a man. The things that proceed out, the things that we're thinking about, we're meditating upon, and where we're going to go with our life and how we're going to do it is very important, and to understand that. That it comes from the heart and it can defile a person. If you have evil thoughts within, they're going to come out. You're not going to hide it. It's going to come out. If you don't meditate upon the things that God wants you to meditate upon and do the things the way God wants you to do, sooner or later, it will come out. Matthew 12 and verse 36, starting, it says, Matthew 12 and verse 36, starting, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Be careful, little mouth. Understanding that every word we use, we will give an account. That's hard to believe. I wonder how many words we speak in a day. There's always some scientists somewhere doing a study and they keep track of that, and the average person talks this many words in a day. Well, I don't know how they come up with that, but that's all right. But our words will be justified or condemned. Two choices, there's nothing else. And be careful to realize that the words that we use will give an account of in the day of judgment. And I've heard people say, well, I can't talk without cussing and swearing. That's because of what's inside. And it comes out. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. James 3 and verse 5. James 3 and verse 5, it says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts great things. See how great a force is set aflame with a small fire. The tongue is in the mouth, and it is a small part of the body. And the tongue boasts great things, and it causes great problems. Be careful when using our tongue that we understand that we can set aflame a great forest fire by the words that we speak. And to choose our words very, very wisely. And be careful, little hands, with what we do with them. We teach the children. In Nehemiah 4 and verse 6, when talking about rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, so we built a wall, and the whole wall was joined together to the half its height, for the people had a mind to work, and they accomplished great things. In Nehemiah's day, the people joined together and made the effort worthwhile. And they had that mind that was willing to work. And we struggle with that today. Be careful that our hands are doing the Lord's work. We can get into a lot of foolishness and things that we should not. And be careful what your hands do that you are going to have to live with sometimes for eternity. In Psalms 90 and verse 17, it says, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Unless the house, the Lord builds a house, it is built in vain. And how true that is. God be with us as we attempt to build our lives in this world. And the Lord needs to establish whatever work it is. And Satan is so good about what he does and how he does it, that he tempts us not to build according to the way God wants. Be careful that the work that we do has the blessings of the Lord behind it. In Proverbs 16 and verse 3, it says, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Understanding that commitment that we seem to be afraid of anymore, what we do unto the Lord, commit it to the Lord. Difficult to do sometimes because we get so tangled up in so many other things in this life. Make plans established around the word of the Lord. Be careful to follow his plans so that your plans are not in vain. First Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Develop a steadfastness and an immovableness in our lives as far as Christians, and understand the importance of doing that, and that our toil is not in vain in the Lord. Be careful to develop this type of work in the Lord and understanding the importance of this type of work that we do for the Lord. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, it says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in, as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." We need to obey the Lord. That is one of the big problems in this life, that we got to put God first and we got to obey what he says. It will take work on our part to find the salvation of our souls before the Lord. You seek and you shall find. Be careful to be doing his will and to work for his good pleasure. There are so many things out there that we get into that sometimes God's not happy with, is he? So be careful, little hands, what you do, that they are doing what the Lord wants us to do. And then there's be careful, little feet, where you go, right? Be careful, little feet, where you go. In Proverbs 4 and verse 26, it says, "Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established." In verse 27, it says, "Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil." We need to be watching the path that we take in life. You know, David said that God's word was a light unto his pathway, right? A lamp unto his feet and a light unto his pathway. Then our lives will be established. Be careful to turn your feet from the path of the evil. So easy to get tangled up in those things that we ought not, and to see all the things that are happening. Psalms 1 and verse 1, it says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." There is a path of the righteous and there's a path of the wicked. And blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel or the path of the wicked. He does not stand in the path of sinners, which is one of them things that we have to leave to be pleasing to God. And to be careful that our feet are not going where sinner allurement is. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, he said, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." If we spend time reading, studying, and understanding God's Word, we will walk by the Spirit. For you see, we have two options to consider. Either we walk by the Spirit, or we do the desires of the flesh. Be careful not to walk where the desires of flesh will lead us away from the Spirit, and understand that there is a path that leads us away from God. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 17, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to the former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. In this passage here, we should not be walking as the Gentiles walk. Or maybe a better way to put that is we shouldn't be walking the way the ungodly walk today. We cannot allow ourselves to become calloused with the ways of this world. Some people call that being desensitized. And the things that we do and we say, and the things we watch, the places we go, the influence we have, where our feet lead us, right? Be careful to lay aside the old self and be renewed in spirit and mind. There's a transformation process that we go through when we become a Christian. When we hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized, and we go down in the water and we come up out of that water, that was the old self that we're supposed to leave there, and there's supposed to be a new self that we serve. So that we can be pleasing to God. In Ephesians 5, in verse 15, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Choose your paths wisely. The King James Version says, instead of having, therefore, be careful how you walk, but walking circumspectly. Here's a word that we don't hardly use anymore. But that means to watch your surroundings around you as you're walking, completely around you, circumspectly, that you can see the whole picture of where you're going. And understand that the path that we take will be very important when it comes to Judgment Day. The unwise choose their paths in an ungodly way. Those that are Christians and those that want to follow God follow a godly way. Be careful how you walk and to understand all the things that we have talked about today. I didn't put all the slides up here. I want to see it. So you can see them, see? I guess I forgot them. But in the big end of things, for the Father up above knows what you do. There's an all-seeing eye watching us. We can't comprehend this because of things in our life that we don't understand. That even the hairs on our head are numbered. God knows every word we say. And we're going to give account for that in judgment. And all the sorry excuses we have for the way we live our life that is not godly will be very difficult when it comes to the day of judgment. In conclusion, how much better off would we be if we practice these things in our lives? Our ears, our eyes, our mouth, our hands, and our feet. To understand all those things that we're doing. The world would be a better place. I would be a better person. And those around me would be better off. Many problems would never happen if we would exercise these things daily. That kids' song is only for kids, right? Satan is relentless on his attacks on us and exploits our weaknesses over and over again. As soon as we come, overcome one, the weakness he comes after is another way. And it's constantly changing. The battle with our adversary will last as long as we have life in our bodies. But if we are preparing it for it daily, we can overcome through Jesus Christ and gain the victory. So think about those words in your daily life. Practice them, and we'll all be better off for it. The lesson is yours. I thank you for your kind attention and all the things that are going on. If you're not a Christian, I will tell you this, that there is no better life on this earth than becoming a Christian and doing God's will. But it's going to take effort. And it's going to take effort on your part and my part and our part together to get to where we're going to go, want to go to heaven. So if you have not heard the Word of God and you've not understood the Word of God, you've not listened to the Word of God like you should, and believed it, hear, believe, repent of your things that's been terrible in your life and the battle of God's ways. And whatever they were, the good thing about God is He will forgive us all. And confess that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins to rise to walk in newness of life. And if you're here and you need prayers for something where you've fallen short, you're already a Christian, and things in your life are not where they should be. And we can argue that all we want. There's two people, there's two beings in this world that know us better than anybody else. That is you and God. So if you're struggling with anything, you need prayers, please let us know as together we stand and sing number 480. Thank you.